twisted. How many of you have learned something, though, through this series about the Bible? Praise God. Well, today is going to be no different. I'm going to challenge you in an area. And matter of fact, watch this. I'm going to teach you something that honestly, only in the last maybe 6 to 8 weeks really came alive and opened in my heart. And matter of fact, it's going to be probably crosswise with something I've taught even in the past before. Okay, so this is an area, you know, being the political season, I thought I would switch and change my view on something, you know? But no, this is something that truly, truly it has really ministered to me, and I pray that will minister to you. And it's an area that we're all affected by, and we all, well, we've all been taught certain things about it, all right? So everybody say money.
Money.
How many of you have ever heard of tithing? Tithing, tithing, tithing. Here's what some people think tithing is. Here's what it is. Well, first of all, let's just define tithing as simply 10% of your income. How many of you know that? All right, now before we even get started, guard your wallet. I'm not trying to get in it, all right? Everybody all right with that? All right, but I do want to teach you what the Bible says about certain aspects. Now, remember, the series is called what? Twisted. So I'm going to show you here in a minute how things get twisted. Look at this. Tithing is, some people believe this, tithing is services rendered to the Godfather. You know what I'm saying? The Godfather. You pay up or you pay up. You know what I'm saying? You pay God off so that he doesn't take you out. Right? And if you don't pay up, you're going to be cursed and he's going to take you out. He's going to get your tithe one way or the other. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah, the Godfather. Instead of God the Father, it's the Godfather. How about this? And some people think admission to a church, it's a cover charge for coming to church. How about membership dues? Membership dues. How about this one? Get rich quick investment strategy. If I sow this, then God will. Now, how about this? Church device system of paying bills. Some people believe that. Tithe was brought up just because of the idea of simply to pay the church bills. Well, can I tell you the tithe is something very, very different than that? Now, here is our kind of twisted verse of the week. You ready? Grab your Bible or watch it up here on the screen. Here's what it says. Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? And then you say, in what way have we robbed you? In the what? Come on, everybody say it. Tithes and offerings. Now, before we go any further, let me ask you a question. Are you blessed?
Yes.
No, for real. For real. Answer for real. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Are you sure you're blessed?
Yes.
You're sure you're blessed. All right. Let me ask you this. Let's read this next verse. But you are cursed with a curse. That's a happy verse, isn't it? For you have robbed me and even this whole what? This whole nation. Say, Pastor Charlie, the series is called Twisted, right? What verse are we talking about? This one right here. Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? And you say, what way have we robbed you? In the what? Tithes and offerings. You are then, if you rob God, then you are what? Cursed with a curse. How many of you know, is everything in the Bible true? Come on, you've been here. Is everything in the Bible true? No. Is everything recorded accurately in the Bible?
Yes.
Y'all got a good pastor, praise God. All right, but now listen, let's go a little bit further. Let's talk about this verse in particular and how it gets twisted, all right? The Bible teaches that if you tithe, you're blessed. If you don't tithe, you're cursed. Most people believe that, okay? Most people believe that. But here's the deal. Here's what I would like to tell you about. It's far deeper than that. It's far deeper than that. Here's the deal. When it comes to this verse, here's what we read into it. We read in the idea that if I tithe, I'm blessed. If I don't tithe, I am cursed. How many of you have been taught that? How many of you thought that? That if I don't give, I'm cursed. But I asked you just a little bit ago, are you blessed? What is your opinion of that? You're blessed, right? Are you blessed if you tithe? Yes. Are you blessed if you don't tithe? Yes. Absolutely. See, get this. Get this. Let's talk about this verse in particular. This verse in particular. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even the whole nation. Where does that come from? Let's back up. You've robbed God in the tithes and what? Offerings. Now, I've told you before and I want to tell you again. The Bible actually should be broken up into three phases. Three phases. You ready? Pre-law, from Genesis to Exodus, pre-law, before the law, before the Ten Commandments, before all that episode, right? Then watch this. The law, and then after the law is the New Testament where Jesus dies, okay? Three phases. Now watch. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Yes. Watch. Before the law is the period where God dealt with man through grace and mercy. During the law, it was Deuteronomy 28, basically. You do this, you do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. You do good, you get blessed. You do bad, you get cursed. That was the way the law worked. God was trying to prove the point that no one is righteous enough without his son, Jesus Christ. All right? So that's the bottom line of what he was trying to prove with the law. It was a way of pointing everyone to a need for a Savior. Now get this. So when was malarkey given? Malachi. All right? Anyway. When did Malachi speak? He was speaking under the law. He was under the law. And the law said, if you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. You get a curse. All right? So Malachi is specifically talking about people that are under the law. And I've heard Christians say this verse. Say, see, if I tithe, then I'm blessed. If I don't, I'm cursed. Even up till recently, I kind of held that view. But then I got to studying this and I realized that it says tithes and offerings. Now, under the law, you were to give 10% of your increase to the kingdom, all right? And then it was also mandatory that you give offerings. So, get this, you were to give, how many of you have ever given a new moon offering? No? Yeah, me neither. Get this, but that was required under the law. If you offended someone, you had to give an offering. There was all these requirements for giving different offerings, and you had to obey it. If you didn't, you were considered a robber and a thief of God, and you were robbing God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Okay, so now watch. We can't apply one part of the law. I'm going to obey God in my tithe, but then I'm not going to give offerings and expect to be blessed. Because the Bible is clearly teaching that if you are under one part of the law, you're under all the law. Are y'all here today? Yeah, I've done this three times. Yeah. You got to tell me you're here. I'll fall asleep up here. I'm getting hungry even, you know. But here's the truth. You ready? The law demanded you give tithes and offerings. Now, I got a question for you. Are you under the law? No. Matter of fact, let me go a little bit further and say it this way. Check this out. Galatians 3:13 says this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Get this. Every curse mentioned in the Old Testament, Jesus came and died for. He came and died for the curse so that you could be free. Get this, he came and suffered the penalties of you and I not measuring up to God's standards. Jesus came and paid that. And when he laid down his life for that, he came to lay down his life to release you from a curse. Amen. Say, well, Pastor Charlie, what about the tithe? I'm going to get into the tithe of whether it's for today or not. I'm still trying to convince you if you're blessed or not. How many of you are blessed?
Yes.
Are you blessed if you tithe? Yes. Are you blessed if you don't tithe?
Yes.
Yes. Why? You are born again, love God, and you believe. You're not blessed because you do a certain thing. You're blessed because you believe Jesus came, died on the cross, and rose again, and is alive today. Amen? That's why you're blessed. You're not blessed because you do a certain thing. That was the law. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. The New Testament, I believe on him who justifies the ungodly. Therefore, my faith is accounted for righteousness. I believe on what Jesus did. So I'm made righteous. How many of you know if I'm made righteous, I'm blessed? It's what the Bible teaches. You are blessed. If you're saved and born again, you are blessed. Say, but Pastor Charlie, that puts a curse on us. No, it doesn't. Why? That's not talking to us. That doesn't pertain to us. We are not under the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Right? So any preacher or pastor that tells you, if you don't tithe, you're cursed. I've heard that said. I've heard it said. I've actually been in church services where they've said, if you don't tithe, don't even come up here for us to pray for you because you are under a curse. I've heard people say that. And I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness, that is not what that's teaching. That is not what the Bible. Now, is that the old covenant? Absolutely. Is that the new covenant where Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? No. So are you blessed? You are absolutely blessed. You're blessed whether you tithe or you don't. And I know some of you are like, uh-oh, people aren't going to give. Oh no, I have a whole different idea of why people give. I'm that good. I'm that good. But here's the reality. The reality of this is if you are giving out of fear of being cursed, you've got the wrong mentality about your giving anyway. I'll show you that here in just a second. Look at this. This is 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, for we know through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? He became poor, that through his poverty you might become what? Rich. Why? He died poor so you could be blessed financially and spiritually in every other way. Every curse went on him so that every blessing could come on you. But Pastor Charlie, I don't tithe. Every blessing could come on you. That's what Jesus died for. Say, Pastor Charlie, what about the tithe? I'll get to the tithe. Stop rushing me. Trying to prove a point that you are blessed. And you are, see, because I know, because I was taught this. I was taught if you come to church and you don't bring your tithe, you are cursed. So what happens is in people's world, they're like, well, I just don't want to go to church then. I'm here to tell you, never allow your tithe to separate you from God. Never allow money to separate you from God. I don't care if you never give a dime to this church. It makes no difference to me. The truth of the matter is, God loves you. God cares about you. He came and died for you. He saved you, and he blessed you, and you are blessed. You are blessed, period, the end of story. What about the tithe? I'll get there. Listen to this. Here's what the Bible says. This is a story about a false prophet, Balaam, was given money to speak curses over the people of God. Somebody showed up and gave him money to speak a curse over the people of God. So they paid him the money. True story, go read it. They paid him the money, and he goes to curse them, and he blesses them. He's like, I bless you. And then what happens is the guy who paid the money, how many of you know he's ticked off now? He's like, I told you, he pays him more money, and he goes to curse him again. Guess what comes out of his mouth again? More blessing. And this was his response. Behold, I've received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot what? Reverse it. In other words, it's this. Once God blesses you, he's not changing his mind. He's not taking it back. You are blessed. If you're born again, saved, and love Jesus, you are blessed. And God is not changing his mind on that. All of the curse of sin and death went on Jesus. He's not taking it back. He's not taking it back. The curse has been paid for. He's not taking it back. He's not up there going, well, I know you didn't tithe, so you get a little bit of curse because I didn't put that little part on Jesus. No, he put all the curse on Jesus. One time, forever, all done. The curse is gone. Praise God. Amen? Amen? So now, the question is, why do people give then? Oftentimes, they give their tithe out of the wrong motive. See, here's what we've got to address. We've got to address the idea of tithing in retrospect of people's heart. Let me give you an example of this. Let me tell you what exactly I'm saying. Crystal clear. You ready? We don't give because we're under the curse. We don't give because we're under the curse. How many of you know we're not under the curse? Right? If you are giving because if I give my tithe, I'm blessed, and then if I don't give, I'm cursed, you got the wrong motive. You got the wrong attitude about giving. That means from week to week, you go from blessing to cursing to blessing and curse. Well, I skipped a month. Uh-oh, curse. How many of you know God isn't doing that? How many of you know you're blessed? I said, how many of you know you're blessed? You are absolutely blessed. Now watch. We don't give because we're under the curse. We give because we put God first. We put God first. That's the motive of the heart. Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, because I believe it this way. I believe if you are coming to church and you're giving your tithe because you're afraid of, quote, getting cursed, I believe personally you are moving your faith in the wrong direction. The Bible is very clear about fear. The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear. God doesn't want you tithing out of fear of a curse. That's the enemy. Listen to this. Let's go a little bit further. You ready? If you are tithing out of fear, let me say this. Fear always opens up a door for an attack from the enemy. Always, always. If you operate in fear, you're opening up yourself to the enemy. That's number one. Number two, you ready? Fear and faith are not the same. You should be giving out of faith. Out of faith. Hebrews 11:6, powerful portion of scripture. And I just want to read it to you and show you something in there. You ready? Look at this. But without what? Faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For anyone who comes to him must believe he is. Listen to me. And he is a. Listen to what faith is. Faith is he is, and he is a rewarder. Faith, he is, and he is a rewarder. Faith is not, I got to give or God's going to curse me. That's the opposite. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? You're really giving, if you're giving out of fear, you're giving out of necessity, you're giving it grudgingly, and you're not receiving a blessing on it. Yeah, because the heart in it is wrong. You're giving it out of fear. You're afraid of the Godfather. Afraid he's going to shake you down, blow out your car tires. Your refrigerator's going to go out. Well, I knew it, honey. We didn't tithe. God got us. He's going to get our tithe through the refrigerator. No, does that even sound like the nature of God? Come on, if you've been here long enough, now maybe you just came from another place, so it may sound like the God that, it's not the God of the Bible. God doesn't need your refrigerator breaking down to prove a point of how much he loves you. Hallelujah, praise God. Here's the deal, you ready? We give because we love God and we want to put God first. So now let's go into the idea of, is the tithe for today then? If I don't tithe because it's not a part of the curse, should I be tithing? That's a different question. First of all, let's establish this. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. Then she bore again, this is Cain and Abel, she bore again, this time, a brother Abel, and now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the what? Of the ground, right? He says this, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock. Everybody stop right there and look at me. Cain brought what? Fruit. Abel brought the first. Y'all hearing it? He brought the first. See, get this. Is this before the law, during the law, or after the law? Before the law. It's the fourth chapter of the Bible. It's before the law by an entire book at least, about 2,600 years or something like that. Well, maybe not that far. But anyway, long period of time. Here's my point. You ready? This is before the law. And God says, bring to me the first. The first. Bring to me the first. Why? God's trying to show you something. Trying to show us something. I'll get to it here in just a second. Let's look at another example of this. This is talking about Abram giving to the Lord. This is Genesis 14. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought the bread and the wine. I mean, you know, there's a party. Oh, come on. Quit. And he was the priest of the God most what? High, yeah. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the God most high, possessor of heaven and earth. Look at this next verse. And blessed be the God of the most high, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Look at this next verse. And he, Abraham, gave a tithe of all. Let me ask you a question. Is this before the law, during the law, or after the law? before the law. We're still in the book of Genesis. Exodus is when the law comes. All right? So we're still in the book of Genesis, and you have men tithing. Tithing. So here's my point. Here's what I want you to hear. Number one, there are two elements that you have to understand here. Tithing predates the law. It came before the law. The law enforced it. The law said, you will tithe and you will do it. I don't care what you think. You will do it. And if you don't, there's a curse if you don't. Right? Jesus came, completes and fulfills the law, dies on the cross, and now you're blessed if you believe in what he did fulfilling the law. Everybody get that? All right, now, Abram tithed before the law was established. So tithing predates the law. First fruits is what the tithe actually started as. People giving God their first. Why? God knew and God wanted them to honor him first before the law came. The law required that they put God first. The New Testament, we should not have to require for you to put God first. You should want to love God and put God first because he has saved you and set you free. And you know you're blessed, so you can tithe and give to God because you are blessed. The motive of the Old Testament is, I got to give so I don't get a curse. The motive of the New Testament is, I want to tithe and give to God because he is first in my life, and I want to honor him and put him first in my life. I got a great illustration. I've used this before, but I'm going to kind of tweak it a little bit. Here, Miss Samantha, you want to come up? Come up, guys. I need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll go 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come on, all three of you. Yeah, come on, come on. All right? All right, Brian. Brian, you are God. Brian is God. Brian was God last service too. So, okay, I'm a little OCD, so we need number 5 this way and 5 that way, or I'll get all jacked up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Miss Samantha right there. All right, over here. 5, right here. No, I just need you in the middle. You know what I'm saying? All right, come on over, guys. Come on over. All right, here's what we got. I got $10 up here. They're not hundreds. They're not. Okay, but listen, here's what I got, all right? I'm going to ask you a question, all right? Just give me a first response. You guys will pick up on how it works, all right? What is something that you spend your money on?
Clothes.
Clothes, typical lady. All right, anyway, all right.
Grandkids,
for real.
House,
yeah, oh yeah.
Kids.
Yeah, you can't use kids. She used kids. She's, anybody say kids? Oh, okay, my bad.
electricity.
Okay, all right, all right. Our bills, there you go.
Food,
yeah, oh yeah.
Makeup.
Guns, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
His motorcycle.
Toys. All right, now watch. If you've given to all these, and then you give God the last, is that putting God first in your life? Where does that put God? Is that a condition of the heart? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a condition of the heart. And get this, when you give to God last, you're not, because you gave to God last, you're not expecting God to move in any of these. You're really not. Because you're like, well, you know, all I did was give to God my last. What happens in the heart of a person when you say, you know what? I'm going to give to God first, and I'm going to expect God to show up in my guns, motorcycle, toys, guns, makeup, terrible, food, bills, kids,
house,
grandkids, clothes. You expect God, by giving to God first, I'm expecting God to move in all these other areas of my life because I honored him first. So when I honor him as a condition of my heart, not because, listen to this, not because I'm afraid he's going to curse me. But I'm giving to him first because I love him. And I want him to play a part in every other decision I make in my life. How many of you hear the difference? I'm not tithing because I'm afraid of a curse. I'm not under the curse. I've been free from the curse. God has set me free from the curse of the law of sin and death, right? Jesus became a curse for us. But I give to God first because it's a principle that by putting him first, God is allowed to move in the rest of my life in every other area. Come on, amen? That's the way it's supposed to. Give him a big hand. Keep the dollar, do whatever you want to with it. But thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, listen to this. The truth of the matter is you're to give to God, not because you're afraid of the curse, but you're afraid, you're not afraid at all, but you want to honor God first. Listen to this. This is Proverbs. I love it. I love it. 3:9, it says this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the what? First fruits of your increase. Here's the deal. Everybody look at me. Check this out. We're honoring God first with our tithe, not because of the curse. And I know I've said that like 5 times. I know. Why? Because I think it's ingrained in people that God wants to curse them. I actually have had that. I remember coming to church and not being able to tithe. Seriously. And it used to bother me. I was like, we're under a curse. We're under a curse. So something would happen during the week, you know? The kids run up in my yard. It's because I didn't tithe. It's because I didn't tithe. Or the refrigerator goes out. And it's like, because I didn't tithe. So my expectation of faith is negative. My expectation is judgment. My expectation is the enemy is robbing me. And I'm not resisting that because I opened myself up because I didn't give. Dang, that's good. It's so good. You got to hear that. You got to hear that. Now watch. When I give to God first, it sets my heart at ease. It gives me the right mentality. I know that God wants to bless everything else. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm not under the curse. I am blessed. But you know what? It puts my heart in a position where he is first and he is number one. Come on, isn't that good?
Yes.
That is good. That's why we tithe. We don't tithe out of fear. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. The truth of the matter is I'm telling you, religion has mastered this. You can get a whole lot more money out of people by fear than you can by telling them how to operate in faith. You can. I'm not going to lie. I've been in church services where, man, it's like a gimmick to get people's money. And I just believe it's totally wrong. It's totally, you will never come to this church, not as long as I'm here, pray, and I ain't going nowhere. You will never come here and get up here and pull some gimmick, sand from the Holy Land or something to twist your arm to get you to give. That is not my motive or my heart. Matter of fact, even with the 4 services that we run, you know why we've added multiple services? Because we're running out of space. Is that a revelation? No, not right now. I know everybody's doing their thing. But let me assure you, in the fall, when this place blows back up again, when everybody's here again, listen, what's going to happen is we're going to be out of space. The reason we've added multiple services is not because we can't go out and finance more building. We can add on, but I believe in the principle of margin and not getting up here and shaking people down every Sunday to get another dollar out of them to pay for a building. I say this, let's keep adding services until we can pay for a building and not have to shake anybody down to where we can just do it as a part of what we do, praise God. Amen? Amen. That way the main thing stays the main thing. The main thing is the people, not the buildings. Right? I just believe that with all my heart. And I'm not going to stand up here and say, you're under judgment. You're under, you. If you don't give to God, boy, you can expect a curse this week. No, I'm here to tell you, you are blessed. You are redeemed from the curse. Jesus broke the curse off. If you never give another dime, if you've never given a nickel, keep coming to church, keep growing your faith, because eventually God's going to work on your heart and you're going to want to put God first in your money. And when you do, you watch what I'm saying. It will do something in you more than it'll do anything else. We've taught our kids from the very young age to tithe. Why? Michael makes $25, he tithes. $2.50. Do you think the church needs his $2.50 for real? We make that in candy sales at the other end, praise God. We don't need his $2.50. We don't. Why? We wanted to change his heart, though. It isn't about the money, it's about his heart. And can I tell you on the same level that God doesn't need your money to finance his kingdom? He doesn't. So don't come in here condemned about it. God doesn't need that. What he wants is your heart. You give him your heart, everything else goes with it. Come on, isn't that right? Man, that's so right. Absolutely, absolutely. So let me ask you this. Did Jesus ever reinforce the tithe? Absolutely. Here's what Jesus said. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue. See, I told you they are Cajun over there. Cajun. Some of you don't know what rue is. Rue is what you make gumbo with. Come on, can I get a witness? Amen. That's godly right there. Mint and rue, praise God. They're all Cajuns. And all manner of herbs. That's Cajun too, but we don't need to go there. And so you get that. I've been in Louisiana. I know what's up. And passed by justice and the love of God. Listen to this. These you ought to have. He said, listen, you tithe and give rue and mint. You tithe all your herbs. You tithe everything, all of your increase. But you pass by justice and the love of God. You pass by them, but you tithe and you give. He says this, Jesus, you should have tithed and done all that. But don't neglect the weightier matters like justice and the love of God. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? So Jesus didn't come along and say, don't tithe. He didn't say that. He said, no, you're to tithe. Why? Because it puts God first. Not because you're under a judgment of a curse. How many of you this morning, this is the first time you've ever heard a tithing message like this? All right, three. Praise God. I'm glad it ministered to everybody so effectively. All right? Here's the truth. You ready? I tithe because it's a debt I owe is the wrong mentality. It's a curse mentality. It's a mentality that thinks you're cursed. Here's the truth. You ready? I give to worship God and to put him first in my life. That's why I tithe. I tithe as a worship. He is worthy of it, and I give my tithe to him because he's first in my life. Not because I'm afraid of a curse, because I've been redeemed from the curse. Come on, amen? Everybody say, I'm blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I believe that. All right, so now, let me ask you this. Are you fear-based in your giving or faith-based? You should be faith-based, not fear-based. I got to give or I'm cursed. I got to give or I'm under judgment. I got to give. Pastor Charlie, you keep teaching people that they're free from the curse. They ain't going to give. Oh, no, I got a whole different motive. Here's the truth. I believe that if it's taught right, and if I explain to you the love that God has for you, you will fall so in love with God that you can't help but give back to him. That's how I believe it. Right? When I fell in love with Michelle, I fell out of love with a lot of other things. She made sure of it. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? Right? It wasn't by somebody telling me, you will love her, or you're cursed, that I fell in love with her. Sorry, I could go. I'm going to stop. I'm going to keep on moving. All right, so here are some things and some attitudes of the heart that I think you need to know about giving. Number one, we give with our heart. We give with our heart. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 9 says. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also what? Reap sparingly, absolutely. And he who sows bountifully will also reap what? Bountifully, right. So let each one give as he has purposed in his what? In his heart, not grudgingly or out of. Pastor Charlie, if we don't get this money, we're going to shut the doors. I'm not giving grudgingly or out of necessity. I've heard pastors get on, if we can't get your dollars, if we can't get your money, we're not going to be able to be on TV. Well, go off. I'm not giving to grudgingly or necessity. I'm not doing that. I'm going to give as I have purposed in my heart. I know for Michelle and I, when we first started giving, I was in Bible college. When we first started trying to be faithful in our giving, let me tell you what we did. One of the things that really bothered me is I was under the impression that if I didn't tithe, I was cursed. And it bothered me. And here I am, a pastor, or going to be a pastor, going to Bible college, and I'm like, I want to be blessed. And so I told Michelle, I said, what can we do in our giving? And this verse came into play. And here's what we did. We said, listen, Michelle, here's the deal. What can we do every week and be faithful to it? And we came up with $20. we felt like every week, $20, we could give and be faithful. I wouldn't give her a hard time about it. She wouldn't give me a hard time about it. I even told her, I said, if we can give 50 once every other week, that's not good enough. I want 50, I want 25 every week. I want to do what we can do every week and be consistent in it. Because her and I both believed if we could be faithful in the little things, God will give us more. So we're going to be faithful in the little. And we did. We sowed 25. Next thing you know, we were able to up it and up it and up it and up it. And it was never out of a necessity or a fear of a curse. It was out of an honoring God and putting God first mentality. That's the mentality that you should be after. Out of not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. God is not up in heaven trying to shake you down and him feeling happy about it. Yeah, I got there 25 this week. I mean, you know, God's not doing that. No. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every what? Good work, yeah. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad and he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, that's what God calls you. He gives you seed for sowing. That's what his desire is. And bread for food, supply and multiply your seed to you, which you have sown, and increase the fruits of your what? Your righteousness, absolutely. So I believe with all my heart, your first and foremost priority with your giving is give with your heart. Make sure your heart is a part of your giving. I'll even go a little bit further. You ready? Whenever we started doing online giving and giving through the web, I told the staff and I told the team, I'm like, one of my fears with doing online giving is that people would give and it not be connected to their heart. You know, it would just be a transaction. So those of you who give online through the website, please make sure that even during the week, whenever we pray over your tithe and offering, claim the blessing over your tithe and your offering. Even if you give online, when you get online and you fill out, we give our tithe online. When you give your tithe online, say, Father, I'm expecting you to bless my tithe. I'm expecting the blessings of God over my life. I give not grudgingly or out of necessity. I give because I want to honor you and put you first. And I believe it, when you do that, it positions your heart in the right place. Amen? That's the way I see it, all right? So even if you give online, make sure your heart's a part of it. Number two, check this out. Write this down if you're taking notes. We change the world. We change the world when we give. Absolutely. Here's the stats, our latest stats on church giving. Tithers make up 10 to 25% of a normal congregation. You get that? 75% of people don't give anything. Only 5% of the U.S. population tithes. Christians, 2.5% of their income. That's the average. 2.5. Christians give 2.5% of their income, which is way below what I believe. If we're going to say we love God and we're serving God and we're putting God first in our life, that's way below what I think it should be. All right, now, let me just say this. Let me go a little bit further. In spite of what I would call pathetic stats, I will tell you this. The greatest thing about this, even though those numbers are where they're at, the church is still the greatest vehicle for change and good in all the world. You think about all that the church does. Everything from you got James Robinson putting in wells. You got Feed the Children, feeding hungry children. You've got Operation Shoebox with Samaritan's Purse where they go into hurricanes and ravage sack places and give food and clothing and all that. You remember Operation Christmas Box? We made Christmas boxes here at the church and we sent them throughout the world. I think there were over 11 million something Christmas boxes went out to all over the world. I mean, the church is doing a phenomenal job globally to reach and minister to people. We do. You go to other countries, and I'm telling you, 95% of all the great things that are going on are churches and ministries that are sowing. I know even us locally, as a local church, we feed, I don't know if you guys know this, but and I don't sit up here and brag about all that we're doing, but I will tell you this, you know, every month we feed 28 kids in Haiti. We do that. You do that. We do that through tithe and offering. We give that money out. A lot of what we do in the community, we sow money into different organizations in the community that are doing great things in this community. All the organizations in this community that are great are supported by Christians and, more importantly, churches. Churches. The church is doing a great job. And I know a lot of times, let me say it this way. In our culture, it's very hard to see, but if you go to a foreign country and preach in foreign countries, you see it a lot clearer. The reason so many people don't see all the great things that the church is doing in America is because the government has its hand in everything. Where in other countries, the government doesn't have its hand in everything. So therefore, what happens is the church is able to go in there and minister to people and feed people and clothe people and really, honestly, help people. In America, it's kind of flipped around. The government gets their hands in it and they want their hands in it. But the truth of the matter is they do a terrible job at running almost everything. But and I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-big government. But here's the deal. This is not about that. This is about the church, even though with all the things that the church has to battle, is still the greatest thing on the planet for changing people's world. It really is. Think about just locally. Open Arms, Christian, CAM, Christian, Gilead House, Christian. I could just rattle off all the organizations in this community, and they are Christian-based. Think about it going back even further. Think about Red Cross, Christians, right? Think about hospitals. They were all founded by Christians. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? The church is the greatest force for good on this planet. I believe it with all my heart. We are the most powerful thing and tool that God can use on this planet. And I believe that local church is the hope of the world. No doubt about it. Amen? Amen. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So listen to this. If tithing would take place, if people would just, it would give, $25 billion would relieve global hunger. Governments can't do it. They're limited. God can do it through the church, though. $12 billion eliminate illiteracy. $15 billion world water problem. $1 billion fully fund missionary work and get this $100 to $110 billion ministry expansion. That's what would be left over. I mean, we would have so much to be able to do the work of the ministry. It would be phenomenal. We could change the entire world. And we are changing the world. We could just do it at a faster rate. Amen? All right, so there's number two. The number two slide was, we change the world. Here's the last one. You ready? Number three, write this down. Most importantly, we change our world. Do you believe that? Giving changes you on the inside. Absolutely. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It says this, "For where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be." Can I tell you, most people translate that backwards. Most people, whenever they hear this, here's what they hear. Watch this. Where my heart is where my treasure will be. Where my heart is, that's where my treasure will be. The Bible doesn't say it that way. The Bible says what? Where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. I'll give you a simple illustration of this, which is pretty funny. I have a 26 Model T Roadster, okay? And my son drove it for his last day of school. Where your treasure is. How many of you know I was puckering the whole day? Oh, Lord God, keep that boy safe in that thing. Lord, watch over it. Lord, watch over that car. Watch up. Come on, how many of you know what I'm saying? Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not worshiping the car, all right? I'd sell the kid and keep the car, but I'm not worshiping the car, all right? But here's the truth. Where your treasure is. Why does that car mean something? Because it's you put money into it, you paid for it, you see what I'm, you put treasure in it. When you put treasure into it, guess what? Your heart is then what? Tied to it. Your heart is tied to it. It's that way with anything. Why is my heart such a part of this church? Because my treasure is it. I put my treasure in it. When I put my treasure in it, my heart follows. It's a principle in the Bible that teaches this. You can make a decision where your heart is. You get a choice. But the choice is connected to your treasure. Whatever you desire to have a heart for, put your treasure in it. If you put your treasure in it, your heart will follow. And the car isn't a simple illustration because the car means nothing to me in the big scheme of things. But here's what doesn't, well, although I enjoy it. But here's the big scheme. The big scheme is, get this, I want to make sure I'm directing my treasure to the true places where my heart should be. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? So my heart should be about my Father. So that's where my treasure needs to go. My heart should be about the kingdom of God. So that's where my treasure should go. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying. My heart should be about God's church because that's what he's called me to do. So guess what? That's where my treasure goes. I can enjoy the things of life, the house, the car, the this, the that, and the other. But the truth of the matter is I want to make sure that my treasure is going in the right direction so that my heart is there with it. Come on, y'all get what I'm saying. See, so it's important where your treasure goes, your heart will go. So listen, maybe you're in here and you've never had a heart for the church. I promise you it's because you've never put your treasure there. Maybe you've never had a heart for mission work. It's because you've never put treasure there. Maybe you don't have a heart for coming to church. It's because you've never put treasure there. Maybe you don't have a heart for the kingdom of God. It's because you've never put treasure there. I would challenge you today to put your treasure where your heart, you want your heart to go. When you put your treasure in the right place, your heart follows it. Your heart will absolutely follow it. So I want my heart to be after God, so I'm going to put my treasure there. The things of this life are passing, fading. Get this, I'm the owner of nothing but the steward of everything. Right? Watch this. I'm going to use things and love people. Not use people and love things. Come on, talk to me. Y'all hearing me? I'm going to love people and use things, not use people and get things and love things. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because that voids me putting God first in my life, and I want to make sure I keep him first. So are you blessed? Absolutely. What if you tithe? Are you blessed? Absolutely. What if you don't tithe? Are you blessed? You're blessed because Jesus came and died on the cross, right? Is tithing a part of the New Testament? Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Are you cursed if you don't? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But do you honor God by putting him first with the tithe? Absolutely. Man, y'all got a good, good dose of the word today. Amen? Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God. Let me say this in closing here, real quick here. Some of you, maybe you've come to church and you've never given before ever, and you always feel condemned and beat up. Listen, stop. God's not beating you down, all right? God's not. You keep coming, you keep growing your faith. It's not, I promise you, especially from my position, it is not about the money. I could care less about all that stuff, all right? I was preaching for free for several years and didn't get paid for it at all. It's never been about money to me, all right? Number two, you ready? Maybe you've given, but you're just not there with the tithe and all that. Hey, that's all right. Just keep growing yourself. My whole thing is this. Keep taking the next step in faith. Maybe you've never given. Your next step is to give. Maybe it's not a tithe. Maybe it is. You just be obedient to what the Lord's telling you, right? Maybe there are some of you that maybe tithe regularly. Maybe the Lord's challenging you and saying, hey, listen, go to the next level in your giving. Move with what moves on the inside of your heart. Amen? All right. Praise God. If you would bow your head, let me pray for you.